It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
We're getting back to the basics today on the line of fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. Simple question I want to ask you today. Is it possible to preach the gospel to a lost person, preach the gospel to someone who does not know Jesus, without at some point bringing up the issue of sin? Yes or no? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or join the already lively discussion on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook. Is it possible to preach the gospel to a lost person without at some point, whether it's your first minute talking to them or an hour later or the next day you're witnessing, sharing the gospel with a lost person, is it possible to truly preach the gospel to them without at some point bringing up the issue of sin? Yes or no? What do you think? Now, to some, it sounds like a strange question. Of course, obviously, you have to talk about sin. And to others, you realize, well, you know, there can be confusion over this, or what does it mean to be saved? And don't you just need to tell people how much God loves them because they have a bad enough self-image anyway? And there's a whole lot of confusion today over these issues. And although this is one of these things that's on my mind a lot, what the gospel really is, the watered-down nature of the contemporary American gospel, I've talked about these things literally for decades now. But it came to my mind afresh. I was ministering at a fine congregation in Southern California this past weekend, serious about the Lord, serious about people coming to faith, serious about people being discipled. And I was talking to a fellow who's part of the leadership there in this church. He is a well-known athlete in his particular field of sports. And he was well-known for his testimony and well-known for his sports accomplishments. So he was talking to me about an event he had just been at, and there was someone else in his particular field, and he's leaving the event, and the girlfriend of this guy, all right, so there's this Christian guy who's leaving the event, and the girlfriend of another famous athlete is saying, man, he needs to hear about Jesus, he needs to know the truth. I'm telling you, what you're preaching is true. He needs to get saved. He needs to get right with God. I'm born again, and he needs to get born again. So I said to this gentleman, this believer, I said, so this girlfriend of this other athlete is saying that her boyfriend needs to get saved. He needs to get born again. Needs to be passionate about it. We don't want to see him go to hell, etc. She's passionate about it. And I said, and this girlfriend, boyfriend, you presumably sleep with. He goes, oh, yeah. He said, this girl's sitting there with a beer in her hand, dressed provocatively with these other girls, all, I mean, as lost as they could be based on outward appearance. And obviously, she's sleeping with her boyfriend and saying how he needs to get saved like she's saved. In other words, there's something going on today. I've never seen it on this level since I've been saved, but I'm seeing it increasing measure in recent years. Not just people who have a form of Christianity and are lost. Not just people who go to church here and there, maybe go to some liberal church that doesn't preach the gospel at all, maybe go once a month or a few special times during the year and consider themselves Christian, and we'll talk about being Christian and they're lost. I've been around that since I was saved, since before I was saved, and I didn't recognize what it meant to really follow Jesus until I got saved. And then I saw how most of the people I thought were Christians were just churchgoers. But what I've come in contact with in more recent years is shocking. People who seem passionate about Jesus, people who are using the same language we're using, saved, born again, people who are talking about being forgiven, people who are saying how everybody needs Jesus and so on, and they are lost. And they're living in sin. And they don't give fruit of being born from above. And yet, if you ask them, do you love Jesus? You say, oh, yeah, I love Jesus. I'm saved. It's like, okay. I remember talking to a gal in the streets of New York City when I was handing out tracts one night when I was a teenager. And she looked like a prostitute the way she was dressed. She was drunk, smoking cigarettes, and she said to me, I love Jesus. And I said, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, I mean, she was drunk, and she had some form of religion, and obviously she was a lost girl, needed to be saved. But when you have someone that really, when they're sober, they're talking about Jesus and loving Jesus and quoting scripture, and man, I'm so excited about your ministry, and I'm so excited about what you're doing. And there's this total disconnect, this total and complete disconnect. It gets me back to the question of, well, what does it even mean to preach the gospel? What does it mean to share the gospel with lost people? What is the gospel? We have strayed so far from some of these basics that it's mind-boggling. So simple question, is it possible to preach the gospel to a lost person without at some point dealing with the issue of sin? 866-34-TRUTH. I was talking to another brother who was speaking at a men's meeting on Saturday with me. I spoke at a men's meeting and then did preaching at two Sunday morning services in Southern Cal. And I knew I was in Southern California when I got to the hotel room and I noticed that the garbage can had a divider in it. It's like, oh, that's strange. And then I looked and it was for recycling things on one side and non-recyclable on the other side. It's like, okay, I'm just throwing these papers or bottle of water, container, whatever. I'm just throwing it where they land. I'm not going to research what is cyclable and non-recyclable in Southern Cal. So if that's a confession, I'm confessing. Okay. That being said, I was talking to another leader, a Teen Challenge leader, who talked to me about a ministry that he used to have to the homeless. And this one well-known woman would come in. He said, oh, she's changed a lot over the years, but he knew her back then. She was professing to be a strong, committed Christian. She would come in and speak to these homeless people about Jesus and give them hope and say, look, something can come out of your life. Look what's come out of my life. Jesus has done all this for me. Very sincere. And taking her time to minister to down and outers, even though she was famous. And then she would tell them, I know you see layouts of me in lingerie and these other things. I mean, obviously, she was a famous sensual lingerie model, and that's how she had her claim to fame, at least a part of it, I guess, from her story. And she's telling them, now listen, that's my work. That's separate from who I am. You know, don't judge me by that. You know, that's separate from who I am. And you think, where do we get that from? Where do we get these ideas that you can have this separate life? You can have a profession. My profession is I'm an assassin. My profession is I beat people up. My profession is I steal. My profession is this or that. but that's separate from who I really am. I mean, this extraordinary disconnect is the result of a really deficient, defective gospel that we've been preaching for years, but it gets more and more extreme now when you have people that seem to love Jesus and be really excited about the things of the Lord and will say amen to your preaching and testimony, and yet there's no connection in terms of, well, hang on, didn't Jesus die to save us from our sins? Isn't that what's written in Matthew 23? You'll call his name Yeshua, Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. Didn't Paul write to the Galatians in Galatians 1 and say that he came to deliver us from this present evil age? Didn't John write plainly in 1 John 2 that if anyone loves the world, talking about the carnal things of this world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him? I mean, isn't just this the basic of the gospel, that Jesus died to bring us back in right relationship to God? That he died to reconcile us to the Father and the Father to us, so that we would now be in fellowship and harmony? I mean, isn't that the gospel? So I come back to my question. Is it possible to preach the gospel to a lost person without at some point bringing up the issue of sin to them? Now, it may be that you're talking to someone in the first moment that they say, look, I know I need God. I know I need God, man. Please pray with me. Tell me how I can be saved. And they're ready conscious of their need, their lack, their alienation from God. But if it's if it's just a matter of telling someone Jesus can help them through their problems, is that the gospel? Is it just a matter of Jesus can help improve their marriage? Is that the gospel? Is that the message of the gospel to a lost person? Or is that a spiritual truth that is part of the goodness of God, but certainly not the heart of the gospel? Oh, there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in New York with gubernatorial candidate Palladino. I want to talk to you about some fascinating sound clips, some sound bites, and some more thoughts on bullying. I'll come back and start there, and then through the show we'll be talking about back to the basics. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire today. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. It's 866-348-7884. Have you signed up for our email list? So what email list? Come on. You've been listening all this time, still haven't. AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Take a second, go there, right on the homepage, sign up for our email list. You can also link to our Facebook page there. We send out new announcements sometimes several times a week or every week, new articles written, new messages posted, things happening that would be of interest to you. When my debate with Dr. James White, as we debated Sir Anthony Buzzard and Mr. Joe Good on the subject of the Trinity on Jewish Voice Broadcast, one that's going to be showing on TV, you'll know about all that if you're on the email list. Takes you 30 seconds, costs you nothing. All right. Before we get back to our subject today, back to the basics, the heart of the gospel, can we preach the gospel to the lost without talking about sin at some point? Is it possible to really share the gospel with a person without dealing with sin? Before I get back to that subject, I'm checking out somewhere the other day, maybe it's at the airport, getting cough drops or something, and I noticed somebody's got People magazine. And there in the front cover is a picture of Tyler Clementi, tragically ended his life jumping off the George Washington Bridge, committed suicide, was a student at Rutgers, was filmed through a webcam by another student, his roommate, filmed Tyler Clementi having some sexual act with another man, and the kid, mortified, embarrassed, ends up tragically taking his own life. And it's talking about the problem of bullying, it's talking about the problem of suicide among gays, etc. So I've further reflected on this. It's in the news. It's not going away anytime soon. And as Christians, we need to think about these things further. So I have a few more thoughts as I've been reflecting on this. Because here's the challenge. On the one hand, you care about these young people that are killing themselves, regardless of the reason, regardless of the motivation, regardless of background, who they are. You hear of a young person taking their own life. I mean, that's one of the most tragic things imaginable. And what the parents go through and what these kids were going through up to that point and on and on. And, you know, it's a very painful, tragic situation. As Christians, we should be concerned. On the flip side, I am not going to allow this to be a platform for gay activists to further advance or a cause for we need to teach gay is good in the schools, etc. So some further reflections on the bullying issue. Again, statistically, best estimates are, say, between 80 and 100 teenagers are killing themselves every single week. America's a big country, what, 300 million people? But still, that's a lot of kids killing themselves every week. Maybe the third highest cause of death among teenagers is suicide, third or fourth highest cause of death. So that drills home what a loss it is. The question is, though, here's what I come back to. Why do we only hear the national outcry when it's a few kids that have been harassed for being gay and they weren't, or harassed for being gay and they were? Why is it that's when we hear about it, when there are 80 to 100 kids a week killing themselves? Where are the stats about the others? Where are the stories about the others? How come we don't know their names? How come we don't hear these stories? That's my first concern. And unless we know all of that, how can we adequately look at the situations, look at the problems? Now, a corollary is that many kids commit suicide. Obviously, they're depressed. And many kids coming from divorced, broken homes fight depression and are more prone to suicide attempts than kids from stable homes. Those of you that have been through divorce, remember the trauma of it. Remember how it tore you apart between mom and dad and the issues. And thankfully, I never had to go through that. But my wife, Nancy, her mom was married four different times. And she knows the divorce, the trauma of being back and forth between two different households and so on. And who's this new person? It's now my father. And those that have lived through it, some came through it better than others. Nancy's a very whole person despite going through those things. Some remain traumatized for life. Some go through really rough periods of life as a result of it. What's the solution then? I'm just laying out a point here. Is the solution that we therefore talk about, well, divorce is not so bad? I'm not comparing divorce to someone having same-sex attraction. I'm simply making a larger point to you. Do we say, well, divorce is not so bad, or do we say, okay, let's do what we can to strengthen families. Let's do what we can to really look at the consequences of divorce in our society and see the terrible effects that it has on kids, including an increased number of suicide attempts and suicides committed. All right, now let's look at this from another angle. I was talking to a young person, 17, 18 years old, flying back. He was on a flight from Denver to Charlotte with me yesterday, together with his folks, and he had gone to check out a college in Montana that he's considering going to, or actually plans to go to, Bozeman, Montana. So I got to talk to him about the bullying issues. He lives in Gastonia, which is right outside of Charlotte. And, you know, what's the atmosphere, how are kids treated, or if they're gay, if they're this, if they're that. And basically the consensus was that, yeah, people can get bullied if they're different. I said, so if they're fat, if they got maybe different hair color, or they look different, or act different. Or he goes, yeah, all the above. All right, now, I remember being bullied as a kid and then bullying some other kids. I think as long as human beings, this is going to be a problem, and we need to do what we can as parents to set loving examples and to teach our kids to be respectful and kind towards others, especially those that are, quote, different. But think about this for a minute. If we know, for example, that lots of kids who are fat get bullied, and that generally speaking, no kid just makes a conscious choice and says, I want to be fat. Either they haven't been fed right by their parents growing up, so they haven't developed good eating habits, or they just have an issue, they get fat easier than others, or they just struggle with their desires for food. Whatever it is, they don't say, you know, I think I want to be fat, and the fatter I am, the more people pick on me. No. That for whatever reason, they're overweight, okay? Maybe you're the parent of an overweight kid, and it's like, yeah, we just struggle with the weight, and it gets picked on at school, they call them fat. All right, do we then have fat is good campaigns, or fat is okay campaigns, or fat pride campaigns, or do we do our best to get kids to be nice? No, don't pick on Johnny because he's fat. No, don't pick on Sally because she's fat. That's not nice. They feel bad being fat already. Don't pick on them. Just be nice to them. And don't get all uptight about if they're cool or not. No. Just look past that and be nice to them because that's another kid that's created by God that God loves. Just be nice to that kid. That's what the issue has to be, not that fat is okay or maybe a kid with ADD gets picked on by other kids. We don't have to now say ADD is okay, nor do we have to say gay is okay. All right, and those are three different categories, fat, ADD, and gay, but three different categories there. We don't have campaigns that those things are good. We have campaigns that bullying is bad. Why does this get turned to gay activism saying that we need to have full acceptance and nurturance and appreciation of homosexuality, and that will lessen bullying? Why not attack the issue, which is bullying is bad and wrong, and violence against other kids is absolutely deplorable? You see my logic here. All right, whole lot more to come. You know, I'm going to come back, follow through with the Palladino remarks. You got to hear this. This is fascinating stuff. Can you preach the gospel to a lost person without at some point dealing with the issue of sin. Michael Brown calling us to get back to the basics today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or get in the interaction at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Let me share some of your comments. Is it possible to preach the gospel to a lost person without at some point dealing with the issue of sin? Bethany, no, not at all. Elisha, no, but it's important how you factor it into the conversation. You have to let the Holy Spirit guide you. Sometimes they need reassurance of God's perfect love, which can take some effort before God learns how to love him back and follow his ways. Jim, I don't see how. You could put it off by presenting a kingdom-oriented delivery, but at the point access to the kingdom is questioned, the issue of sin and atonement has to arise. Jesse, absolutely not. The nature of salvation is that I realize that I'm hopelessly lost in sin, that I need Jesus to rescue me from that miserable condition. It's silly to attempt to give the cure without first convincing the person that they have the disease. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesse. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To show how much he loved me or to pay for my sins? In other words, there's no reason for a cross unless there's a reason for sin. It's not just God loved me so much that his son died on the cross. No, he loved me so much that his son took my place, paid the price in a public way for the world to see, took my sins on his shoulders, that I, dying to sin, should now live for righteousness. It was Ralph Venning who said, he that is merciful to sin is cruel to his own soul, and cruel to the souls of those we share the gospel with if we don't tell them the truth about sin, Jesus being the one and only remedy. All right. Let me get back to some of the other things we've been talking about. Look, I'm not bringing these issues up in the news. They're coming up. CNN, breaking news. Just during break, check my email. Federal judge to U.S. military, stop enforcing don't ask, don't tell policy barring gays, lesbians from serving openly. So a federal judge is not going to tell the U.S. military what to do in terms of this policy. Is this wild or what? Reuters reported Sunday, October 10th, Belgrade. A gay rights parade in Belgrade erupted in violence Sunday as thousands of police deployed to protect marchers clashed with anti-gay protesters who rioted and attacked the headquarters of the ruling parties. In the worst violence in the Serbian capital in over 2 years, more than 110 police were injured in pitched battles with gangs of nationalists and skinheads. One of the 1,500 marchers was badly beaten as he arrived home in a nearby suburb, police and officials said. Defense Minister Dragan Sutanovac called it a really sad day for Serbia, and Tadic vowed to bring the people behind the violence. This is Democratic Party President Boris Tadic vowed to bring the people behind the violence to justice. Quote, Serbia will secure human rights for all its citizens regardless of their diversity. Of course, diversity being the code word for homosexual practice. No one will tolerate attempts to threaten them. Look, when skinheads and these others attack people in a gay pride event or badly beat one of the participants on his way home, that's horrific. That's deplorable. Is it wrong? Is it morally wrong for people to have a gay pride march and march through a city proclaiming their homosexuality or bisexuality or transgenderism? Yes, it is. Is it within the rights? It depends on where the country stands. Obviously, if they're going to break certain laws or have nudity or other displays that might cross lines, then the city can shut it down. Or if they felt it's morally offensive and it's within their city guidelines to shut it down, that's one thing. But when you have violent protests and attacks, it's horrific, deplorable. Just like the horrific violent attacks that gotten national attention with some Latino gang in New York City severely beating, and don't want to get into the details of what they did to a couple of gay guys in New York City. It's wrong and horrific. The violence is wrong and horrific. It's sad that it happens. But the solution is not to tell everyone you have to accept homosexual practice, you have to embrace it. The solution is don't break the law. Everybody's protected by the law against acts of violence. And if you are violent against an old person because they're old and you think you can take advantage of them, or against a Jew because they're Jewish, or against someone that sleeps around and you don't like that, or someone that's a practicing homosexual, no, you don't have the right to do that, to attack another person. That said, GOP gubernatorial candidate Carl Paladino gave a speech to Brooklyn Hasidic Jews, ultra-Orthodox Jews, saying that children should not be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid and successful option. It isn't. So he's been attacked for those comments, and how can you say that right after the anti-gay violence in New York City? So he's on the Today Show getting cross-examined, and he turns things around to say, look, I want to bring a contrast between myself and the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Andrew Cuomo, who took his kids to a gay pride event in New York City. So listen to this interaction.
Mr. Cuomo took his daughters to a gay pride parade. Is that normal? Would you do it? Would you take your children to a gay pride parade?
I think that you can probably expose your children to a lot of different things and
really?
Help them decide and make their own decisions.
I don't think it's proper for them to go there and watch a couple of grown men grind against each other.
So this is part of the public discussion, you know, men in Speedos doing this. And then there's the controversy about the speech. Where did it come from? The speech that he gave. He said, well, I didn't write it. It was handed to me. Someone from the Orthodox community wrote it. And I edited it. I crossed out some lines I didn't like. Somehow the press got the original speech, saw the lines he didn't like. But again, this is current news in New York and really across the nation.
Hot seat. New York Republican gubernatorial candidate Carl Paladino ignites a firestorm of controversy again over his blunt remarks. With the election just 3 weeks away, Paladino is under fire for what some call anti-gay statements. Here's CBS 2 political reporter Marcia Kramer.
Carl Paladino says his blunt talk about gays, that he doesn't want children brainwashed into accepting gay marriage, does not make him unfit to be governor. Quite the contrary.
There are many people in New York that find me very fit because I do speak on issues and I stand up for the rights of the people, all the time, including all homosexuals, yes.
The latest slap in the governor's race began when Paladino met with some Brooklyn Hasidic Jews and spoke out against gay marriage. But a version of the speech handed out by a rabbi had some things Paladino didn't say, including a charge that, quote, there is nothing to be proud of in a dysfunctional homosexual. Paladino said he didn't write the speech, but when it was handed to him, he crossed that line out.
That section, okay, of my presentation was written, okay, and it was handed to a staffer.
So who did write the speech? Sources tell CBS 2 it appears to have been written by a man named Yehuda Levin, who acted as an emissary from Paladino to the Orthodox community. The rabbis Paladino visited in Brooklyn tell CBS 2 his views reflected their Orthodox views, but they don't reflect the views of groups dealing with gays.
We're sending a message to young people that it's okay to discriminate, it's okay to commit violent acts, that it's okay for gay kids to kill themselves. And that's not okay, particularly in a place, in a country that supposedly values all of us.
All right, so that was the last quote from Jarrett Barrios from GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. How, please tell me how, when you say that I don't think it's right to take your kids to a gay pride event and watch some of the junk that happens, and there is some junk that happens undeniably at many of these that's vulgar and despicable, heterosexual, homosexual, it's wrong. And to say I don't think kids in school should be brainwashed into accepting that homosexuality is just another option equally to heterosexuality. How is that saying it's okay to discriminate against kids and it's okay for them to kill themselves and it's okay for violence to be done against them?
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, Donna's up first talking about the gospel and the issue of sin here in the Line of Fire. Now, for those of you who are very astute listeners, you realize that I'm not talking about two or three or four different subjects today. I'm talking about one subject. Basically, when we get off track with the foundations of the gospel, everything else gets off track, and the reason society has lost its moral bearings is because the church has so largely lost its moral bearings, and one of the clearest examples is the message that we preach to the lost. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to the phones, and I do have some good news to report to you, by the way, some positive, rational reporting as well that I want to share with you, but first let me grab a call. Donna in Lexington, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I enjoy your program. I've been holding a while. I told the gentleman I almost forgot what my response is. But
do you need the question again?
No, paraphrase. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Dr. Brown, so I make sure I'm on point here.
Yeah, so the question is, can we preach the gospel to a lost person without at some point bringing up the issue of sin?
Okay, right. And my response to that is, no, you cannot. But my emphasis is placed on how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I recall when I got saved, which wasn't very long ago because I wasn't raised in the church, unfortunately. And the first person that tried to do it, they preached to me fire and brimstone, scared the dickens out of it. I didn't want no part of it because I couldn't see myself ever stopping the sin that was in my life. But from that, I feel that it's the approach. You have to do like Jesus did. He fed them physically, and then he moved in spiritually. Yes, eventually we will have to talk about sin, because we can't just keep on talking about the love of Jesus, because God will love us to hell. And so we need to let them know that God is gracious. The first thing to me, Dr. Brown, that's important, is that individual has to make their mind up that this is what they want to do. When I'm talking to my son who is not saved, and I know about his sin and his habits, I say, don't worry about that. God said in his word he will give you the desires of your heart. Don't worry about what you're doing now. Just focus on reading his word and accepting and just meditating on his word. And the more that you read and the more that you study, the more that you lay down before him and call on him, those things that you are doing, he will take those things away from you because you will get to a point you won't want to do them.
Right. So you're,
that is that, yes, we do have to address sin. We don't want people thinking that God is like, la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. You want to let them know Jesus loves you and all of that. But at a certain point, you do have to let them know that the word tells us, shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? But support it with scripture. But the main thing, Dr. Brown, in my closing, is let our walk be an example of what we're saying. What's happening in this day and time is that our mouth is saying one thing, and then our actions is showing another. There's not enough consistency to validate what we're trying to preach.
Yeah, Donna, that is some good preaching there. I absolutely agree with what you're saying, and it's wonderful that the Lord reached out to you and saved you later in life. Thanks for holding and sharing that, Donna. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I enjoy your show.
Thanks so much. God bless. All right. You see, a lot of people have grown up with the main message they hear is you have to stop doing this, you have to stop doing this, you have to stop doing this. Oh, you can't wear your hair like that. Oh, you can't have that jewelry. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. Why? Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't do that. A lot of people heard that and reacted against that because that's not the gospel. The gospel is not change and become a better person and God will accept you. The gospel is not you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. The gospel is that we are guilty, we are lost. We have, by our sin, been separated from God, and God loved us so much that he sent his Son into the world, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We will be saved from our sin. We will be saved from wrath. We will be saved from judgment. And if you're listening right now, and that's you, you're saying, I don't know what it means to be saved. I would like to know. I would like to be in right relationship with God. I know I'm guilty. I know if I was to die right now, I'm not ready to meet him. Give us a call. 888-378-FIRE. If there's not a person to take your call live at the moment you call, just leave us your name and we'll call you right back. 888-378-FIRE. We'd love to talk with you. The fact of the matter is, Jesus died to save us from our sins. Sin is the problem. The cross is the solution. Faith in what Jesus did is the solution that sets us free. And then as we walk with God, we find liberation and transformation. And what Donna said is absolutely right. Ultimately, people are going to have to come into that relationship with God, and it may be largely through building a relationship with us, seeing the quality of our lives, and out of that quality, they hear the real message of Jesus. Okay, remember the Indianapolis cupcake situation? Yeah, the rainbow cupcakes. Got an update for you. Stay with us.
Well,
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. Okay, let me share this quote with you first from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Chief grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy, which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. Oswald Chambers said, Jesus Christ came to make the great laws of God incarnate human life. That is the miracle of God's grace. We are to be written epistles known and read of all men. There is no allowance whatever in the New Testament for the man who says he is saved by grace, but who does not produce the graceful goods. Jesus Christ, by his redemption, can make our actual life in keeping with our religious profession. Okay, before I give you my bottom line thoughts for today, I want to give you an update on the Indianapolis cupcake situation. You remember there's a bakery there, Christian-owned apparently, or conservative viewpoint-owned bakery. Some college students came in, said they wanted cupcakes made with rainbow icing for a coming out gay pride event that was going to be taking place at their campus. The owner said they wouldn't make them. And then there was an outcry and city ordinances and a mayor, how can they do this? And so on. We discussed it and said, look, you don't have to. It's one thing to say we'll serve anyone who comes in. You want to buy our cookies, you want to do business here by all means, but you've got a special event. If it was Fred Phelps coming into town with his God Hates Fags message and he wanted cupcakes made as a fundraiser for his event and they said, you know, that violates our convictions, people would have applauded them for that. Anyway, the folks who crafted the anti-discrimination bill, which included sexual orientation in it, said we never intended it to go that far. That's not what we intended. We didn't want it to go that far. So even the people who crafted the bill say that the thing is being misused right now. Nice to hear a little sanity in the midst of the discussion. All right, so bottom line, Jesus came into the world to deal with the sin issue. Jesus came into the world to bring us forgiveness of sins and freedom from sin, to pay the penalty of sin and to break the power of sin. That's the glorious message. Not simply that God loves us, but that he loves us in a life-transforming way. He loves us in a way that removes the burden of guilt. He loves us in a way that deals with the root cause of all human problems. He loves us in a way that pronounces us completely forgiven through the cross, through Jesus taking our place, through that extraordinary unconditional love, and then empowers us by his Spirit to live different lives. What kind of gospel message would it be if I told you, yeah, God loves me so much that even when I was shooting heroin, he sent his son to die for me, and I've been shooting heroin now almost 40 years, and every day I thank God for his love? Would that be the gospel? Yeah, I was a violent man. I was a wife beater, and I beat up people on the streets, and I knew I was messed up, and God showed me he loved me so much. Even when I was beating people up, he sent his son to die for me. And every day as I beat people up these last 40 years, I'm just so thankful for the love of God. No, that's not the gospel. Salvation does something. It forgives and frees. It changes us. Jesus came into the world and said, if the Son sets you free indeed. That's the gospel. Only a few days left, friend, to join us for the Apologetics Conference. Make an effort to get there Friday, Saturday, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, culminating with my debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach Saturday nights, October 15th, 16th. Don't miss the event. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Click on the itinerary. Sign up. I hope to see you there. Let's get back to basics.